Dear listeners, here in this service tent, at the service site, in the lodging area, and listening through media, especially you, dear youth, grace be unto thee and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I have been given the task to keep a presentation on the subject, I am the light of the world. I've gathered thoughts from primarily the Bible, but also from Christian publications and old sermons. Especially important to me have been the numerous discussions with dear travel companions regarding the subject. Thank you for your support. Thank you to my dear spouse and family that you had the strength to support and carry through prayer when the task felt heavy. Dear youth, dear listeners, carry me in prayer to the heart of the Heavenly Father before this task. I have thought to divide this presentation into five sections, which are light and darkness, light in the Bible, as light and as salt, as a youth in our times, as well as may the lamp of faith shine unceasingly with thine oil. Light and darkness. The title of this presentation and also the service motto of these Opista services is I am the light of the world. The motto is a sentence from the Gospel of John, its 8th chapter, verse 12. And the entire verse is as follows. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus was in a difficult situation. The Pharisees and scribes had brought a woman guilty of adultery before Jesus in the middle of services. According to the law of Moses, a stoning sentence seemed imminent. Jesus nevertheless prevented the stoning by appealing to the stoners' consciences. He who is sinless shall cast the first stone. The stones fell to the ground, and the crowd left. Did Jesus approve of the adulterer's sin? Let us read on. After discussing with the woman, Jesus says, go and sin no more. Jesus did not condone the sin. He hates sin, but loves sinful mankind. After this, Jesus introduces himself, reveals himself. I am the light of the world. He did not begin to debate with the Pharisees about the motives of his actions, but revealed his divinity. The words I am signify in the Bible the name of God. A righteous Jew could not say this aloud. This was one significant reason why the Pharisees wanted to silence Jesus. They did not confess his divinity, that Jesus was the Messiah. We live in a time where artificial light balances the changing dark and light times. In the evenings and at night, city streets and our homes are lit with electric light. Here in Finland, part of the year is very dim or dark. The more north one goes, the greater the fluctuation in light and darkness during the year is. When you came into this tent, it was still quite light. Even though I will not speak for long, after the evening song, the sky will be darkened. In the dark, it is more difficult to navigate. We might stumble and might injure ourselves. In the dark, we do not easily notice dangers. We do not recognize the faces of someone we know or someone we don't know. In the dark, we might lose things that are important to us. Many things which seem self-evident during times of light become more difficult to distinguish in the dark. In the time of Jesus, the fluctuation of light and dark was stronger than it is for us. When darkness fell on the Holy Land, it came fast, and the darkness is complete. There were no cell phone lights to show the way if darkness came by surprise. Light time was time for work and action. Dark time for rest. The rhythm of life was based upon natural light. This was how it was also in the north, before the time of electricity and electric lights. When Jesus taught, he often used examples from the daily lives of the listeners. In this way, the teaching was easier to understand. I am the light of the world. Light in darkness can be seen from far away. Light is good to follow, for one does not need to wander in the darkness. Through faith, we understand that Jesus does not only speak of temporal light and darkness. When he calls people from darkness to light, we know he means, above all, spiritual darkness and spiritual light. What did this mean during the time of Jesus? And can it also be a message for the people of today? We will further study the Holy Bible. Light in the Bible. If you read of the time of creation, you might notice that light and darkness is spoken of in multiple places. In the first chapter of Genesis, verses 3 to 4, it is said, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that this was good, and he separated light from darkness. Nevertheless, only on the fourth day, God created the sun and the moon and the stars of the heavens. I will read from the first chapter of Genesis, from verse 14 on. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. The old speaker, Einari Lepisto, who has already reached heaven, explained the matter in this way in one of his sermons. This is a direct quote. The light created on the first day was not temporal light from the sun. It was only created on the fourth day. So where did the light come from on the first day? We might have difficulty studying and explaining where the light shone on the first, second, and third day. But we refer to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Its fourth verse, the apostle explains that God, who commanded light to shine from darkness, even from the first day of the world, even during this time, where it shines as a light in the heart of those that believe. Think, when God began his creation, the first light into this world shone as the light of God's kingdom, the face of the Lord Jesus. All which is created in Christ, things seen and unseen. This is from Colossians 1st chapter. End quote. Is it not a mighty gift, this faith? This light in your heart, believing listener, which shines, is an eternal light. Next to it, all temporal and temporary is secondary. Even the shining sun of the sky. One day it will cease in its duty. But the light of Christ, the power of the gospel, brings us through time into eternity. Take care of this gift that is in your heart. The nation of Israel traveled, led by Moses, in the wilderness of Sinai towards the promised land. The route was not easy. The way was not straight, nor the easiest, but God led the way according to his will. The wilderness was a tough terrain to navigate upon. The day was scorchingly hot, and the nights were cold and dark. In the beginning of the journey, when the army of Pharaoh chased the Israelites, they also had to travel by night. I will read from Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 to 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night, from before the people. The people did not need to wander around in the dark. The light of God led the journey. The obedient traveler needed to only follow the pillar of fire. But as soon as one began to go astray, went to try their own routes, and lost the flock and the light of it, there was a great danger to get lost and to become prey of the wild animals. The journey of God's children during our time is often compared to the nation of Israel's journey in the wilderness. We are reminded in sermons to travel along the footsteps of the sheep that have gone before us. This is not a very trendy in the self-centered times of today, but the advice is not bad. It is not even anything new. Paul had to remind the Corinthians. I will read from the first letter to Corinthians, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. In the journey of the wilderness, Christ shone the gospel's brightness as power to his own. When the nation became thirsty, Moses struck the rock with his staff from which flowed the streams of living water. It is the same today even for the children of God. Do not, young one, grow tired of this simple sermon which has been preached even at the services here at the MSS Obispo services, and also will be, if God wills, preached again. The gospel is God's power unto each of those who believe on it for their own salvation. Do you remember Saul of Tarsus? A well-learned theologian who, during the time of the early congregations, ridiculed the Christians. Saul was confronted on one of these journeys on the way to Damascus by a great light. The light was so bright that the human eye could not look upon it. Saul became blind. His ears, however, were saved, and he heard a voice that said, I am Jesus, who you ridicule. This light was not the light of grace. It was the hard, piercing, and blinding light of God's law. God's law bound Saul. This is how God's law works. It drives man into an impossible situation. The Bible speaks of two lights, the light of the law and the light of the gospel. Moses is the picture of the light of the law in the Bible. When he brought down the tablets from the Mount of Sinai, his face shone such a great light that the Israelites could not look upon him. Moses had to cover his face. The light of the law was great, but the light of the gospel shining from Christ's face is much greater. The Word of God has an advice, is as a guide, it shows the way to Christ. You surely remember the advice of the angel on Christmas night. Today, in the city of David, is born unto you a Savior. This is a sign unto you. You will find a child wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Or the star which guided the wise men of the east. The star stopped above the place where the baby Jesus was. Saul was also guided. Rise and go into the city. There you shall hear what you must do. In the city there was a believer named Ananias who preached the gospel to Saul. Saul later became the Apostle Paul. This is how the Word of God works. The law binds, shows with its light our sinfulness, and shows the way to Christ. It does not, however, give power unto repentance, but leaves man in a helpless state. The gospel calls to repentance with its light of love. This is entirely the work of God. We have no part in it. Faith is, from the beginning to the end, a gift. Even grace we receive through grace. Paul writes in the second letter to the Corinthians, "For the letter, law, killeth, but the Spirit, the gospel, giveth life." As light and as salt. We, children of God, you youth as well, live in this world as owners of faith. Faith is seen from us outwardly, although we do not always know it or want it to. This is how it nevertheless is. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, the Gospel of Matthew, its fifth chapter, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What does this portion of the Bible sound like to you? Many thoughts may arise. Me as a light in the world? How to be as salt? Why does the kingdom of God need to shine so brightly in this time? Could the lights be dimmed a bit? Could we be more careless with less flavor to, or adapt to the ways of the time and other trends? It is essential that the light which shines from us is not our own light. It is yet again this eternal light of Christ which through faith has been placed in us. God has sent his children into the world as mission workers to tell what good faith has blessed to me and my life, and above all to be calling to be partakers of the gospel and that on this earth is yet Christ's congregation which proclaims the tidings of the gospel, that proclaims all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. What about the salt of the earth? Even a small amount of salt can be felt by the tip of the tongue. It can be distinguished from all other tastes. It is not always a good taste. When a student friend or friend from the army asks, "Are you a believer?" we are often surprised. Can it be seen from something I have said or done? Oftentimes it is noticed that that which we do not say or do, what does not come from our mouth, or the places we don't go to, these do not give us any merit, and through them we do not become saved. They are often small fruits of weak faith, the grains of salt which are not felt or seen by us, but in the middle of darkness can shine as exclamation points to a person who is longing for the peace of God. Salt can lose its flavor and light can dim. We have a danger to grow tired in the battle against sin. Jesus exhorted us to be watchful in faith, but stated, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And in the middle of temptations, we feel the urge towards sin. The corruption which is in us would wish to leave the fruits of faith and change the salt into something sweeter. Seek the grace fountain in those times, as the gospel is powerful even in the midst of temptations and sorrows. As a believing youth in our times, dear youth, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Ephesians, "You shine as the Lord's light, live as children of the light. Light bears forth the fruits of the goodness, truth, and justice. Each seek to find that which the Lord sees as fit. Do not partake in the works of darkness, they do not bear fruit. Bring them to the light of day." From the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Are you not children of light unto each other? The Word of God reminds us that we are travel companions for each other, travel escorts. Those who travel by our side and do not forsake even when one is growing tired of the battle and being left behind. Let us slow our pace at those times, travel side by side, and ask how the other's faith has been. Dear youth, you can bravely be pulling those who have been taken to the darkness back into the light of faith, to the face of Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and to the partaking of the word of grace. Let us not favor sin and slowly begin to accept it in our groups. True love of the neighbor is to care for one another in grace and truth. You youth live and are active on social media. There are many different communities or groups which you are part of. There are numerous groups from different parts of life. There can be groups for hobbies and topics of interest, and also communities related to work and studying. The spiritual atmosphere of our time can be tense. It feels as if everyone should have an opinion about all matters, and it must be stated, preferably strongly. We are building border fences by simplifying and taking stances against each other. It is a danger that we lose the desire to want to discuss things constructively. Instead of building bridges, we set up barricades. From behind them, it is easy to cry out generalizations, assumptions, and half-truths. Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the peacekeepers, for they shall be called the children of God." From the 5th chapter of Matthew. And in the letter to the Romans, there is an exhortation, "If it is possible and up to you, keep peace with all." This does not, of course, mean to accept or adopt everyone's opinions. In our time, there are many opinions which are against the Word of God. We can then, with the help of God, open the foundations of our faith, silently and in fear, constructively and invitingly. Let us be children of light in discussions on the internet and in the use of media. Yes, media. I wish to also say of this, with a feeble mind, a few words. As you youth certainly know, in Christianity there has traditionally been a temperate attitude towards the entertainment offering of the media. This was a significant factor when a stance was taken regarding television. Now we all have a television, and actually all of the world's entertainment production in our pockets. Do you young ones discuss of these matters with each other? Is it a danger that addicting entertainment series or watching of professional sports unknowingly fill our free time? It is good to pause and think what values we are being offered through entertainment and under what type of sensory bombardment we are placing our souls under. From there, a believer sees a foreign model of marriage, drugs, and entertainment culture. Do they build our faith, or do they slowly create a chasm between our daily life and the sermon heard at services? If there is a conflict between life and faith, there is a great temptation to see faith as limiting and old-fashioned, which will then be rejected easier, faith or sin. As users of the media, you are certainly also familiar with the lack of outlook and many threats of the future which traditional media portrays. It is important, and according to the teachings of the Bible, that we keep faith and a trust in the future. There have always been different types of threats. In my own youth, nuclear warfare was seen as possible and even likely. Before this, there was a fear of the depletion of energy in the world. We have feared serious plagues and famines, overpopulation, threats from space, the falling of the stock markets, or terrorism. A sensitive child and youth easily adopts these threats as part of their own persona and begins to live in their shadow or through them. It is good to understand that the media lives by these news and crises. It is not only the communication of information, but also business. It is important to learn to think of these different threats in relation to our own situations in life and environment. We nevertheless live in a safe welfare state. God has blessed our nation. I remember from my own youth, my aunt, who had a beautiful habit of keeping a small speech at different gatherings or celebrations with the family. The speech was personal, encouraging, and always skillfully constructed. When I I became engaged with my girlfriend and my former girlfriend and current wife. We also received this gift in the hallway of our childhood home. The time was during the depression of the 1990s. Around us, we were surrounded by many bankruptcies, unemployment, and changes in our society. My aunt Maya congratulated us on our courage, that regardless of all the surrounding uncertainty, we had so much courage and trust in God that we dared to commit and plan to establish a family and home. Perhaps we were only so in love that we did not see any threats around us. However, that moment stuck in my mind, and I have often thought, in the midst of life's joys and sorrows, that faith in the future and trust in God's caretaking are an important part of that nourishment which is also found in our upbringing and sermons, and which should be cherished. And I can full-heartedly join in the familiar saying in Christianity, "On to this day, the Lord has helped." Better than I myself could have ever planned it. It pays to trust in God's good care. The Bible reminds us of holy freedom. Again from the Sermon on the Mount. "Look at the birds of the heavens. They sow not, they reap not, they gather no food. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not better than they?" This does not encourage us to be lazy or dependent on society, but to trust. We do our best in our studies, our work, and that portion which God has given us. We build this nation and society, our own family, and our lives with peace of mind. Different threats, such as climate change, must be taken seriously. We must cultivate and protect God's creation. However, we do not need to panic or be desperate. God has, with His Word, created this world, and one day also by His Word shall also end. We are on a solid road when our life solutions are in accordance to the needs of creation and the Word of God. Thus, it is important to remember that God is the Lord over life and death. We humans have not been given the power to choose which humans will be born and which should die. And when one should die, this power is in the hands of God. The modern man would wish, even in these questions, to rise up to God's level. We remember from the fall into sin that it was the temptation and message of the enemy of souls. Read the Bible, dear youth. For example, the time of creation is very enlightening and raises thoughts concerning even today's relevant questions. The prophet Jeremiah encouraged the struggling promised nation with the word of God. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end." We can, as children of God, place our trust in this same promise. Dear travel friends, in the middle of this great throng of youth at the service site or listening through some form of media, there might be a young listener who is experiencing loneliness. You may not want to or be able to come to a large gathering of people. You might feel excluded and different in communal events. Often in sermons, the importance of gathering together is emphasized. God has created you and looked upon you and all his creation and said, "It is good." You are perfect just as you feel yourself. You can be freely believing, even if you do not dare to or want to be in big gatherings. There is grace even for the purity of your conscience. You can pray for a travel escort, a believing listener and source of encouragement. Let us youth make a decision this evening that we bring joy to this travel escort sometime when it is suitable. Let us be ambassadors of the life of grace, light of grace. Ask with a message, how is it going? And ask them to join for an evening walk or to come with to smaller services. All of you who are experiencing loneliness and timidness are remembered by the Almighty One. Jesus Christ, the great intercessor, carries you to the heart of the Heavenly Father. I read earlier this summer from a Päivämies blog post which touched me and felt familiar to my own experiences as a youth and as a parent to a youth. The blog post told of a longing of a young believing friend. Even this presentation is being listened to by youth who are alone at the service site or are sitting at the camper van with their parents, for they have not had a friend to go with or gotten into a group. Behind them might be perhaps unsuccessful attempts, unfulfilled hopes, feelings of being rejected, misunderstandings, or direct bullying. You may not have courage to even attempt to approach others. Now I ask you, do you know of anyone to whom this previous description applies to? Close your eyes for a moment and think of yourself in place of this young one. You can say their name silently in your mind. Is it difficult to empathize, or does it feel familiar? Perhaps stingingly familiar. To be able to put oneself in another's shoes and to feel empathy towards others are important skills in life. It should be practiced. It should even be practiced from time to time. If someone still has their eyes closed, you can open them. If someone fell asleep, poke them gently awake. And should we agree that the person you thought of will receive in the next week a message or phone call from you? Dear youth, let us take everyone along, even the timid, sensitive, quiet, and reserved. Their friendship is an especially great gift to you. This evening, I also wish to search for you. Dear young one who are listening to this, but feel that you are no longer believing, do you know that Jesus is searching for you? He has left those 99 sheep for a moment and is calling you. This is also how God once called Adam in the evening in paradise, when the enemy had betrayed and sin had attached. Adam and Eve hid in the trees and did not dare to step in front of God's face. They were afraid to hear God's word when sin was pressing on their conscience. Have you tried to hide yourself in your own interpretations of faith, trying to build your own version of righteousness in your mind. This is what happened to the first human pair. They tried to cover their nakedness with the clothes of their own righteousness. Or have you wanted to forget the whole matter and search for consolation in the life of sin? So the prodigal son also searched, but did not find peace. He longed for his father's home, the kingdom of God. Listen. Come into the light. Come to the hearing of God's word. Come to services. Father will meet you on the road and embrace you. There you can hear the loving voice of God. See the bright face of Christ in the forgiveness of sins. Feel the power of the gospel. Our Savior approaches you through his kingdom in this word of forgiveness. You can believe your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. Jesus carries you with his staff back into his flock of sheep. May the lamp of faith shine unceasingly with thine oil. Jesus once told his disciples a parable of the wise and foolish virgins in the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter. In the end times, the kingdom of heaven is likened to that of 10 virgins, 5 of which were foolish and 5 which were wise. The difference between these groups were that the wise had oil in their lamps, but the foolish did not. When the bridegroom arrived at the wedding celebration, which Jesus meant as his second coming at the end of time, the wise were ready, but the foolish had gone to get more oil. During this journey to refill their lamps, their time of visitation expired on their part. This door to heaven had closed, and the celebration had started without them. Is this a severe story? Nevertheless, it is told by the living Lord himself. That which speaks to us most is that this describes the state of God's kingdom at the end of time, not, for example, of the whole world. Jesus meant to remind us to keep faith and watchfulness important, that our lamp would shine its inviting brightness into the world, that we would not tire in faith, and that our light of faith would not be extinguished. Oftentimes we experience that our flame of faith is flickering, hardly noticeable, but it is enough. One needs only a very small amount of faith, the amount of a mustard seed. It is important that we have a want to battle as a child of God. The Apostle Paul advised the young Timothy, keep faith and a clean conscience. Dear service guest, young and old alike, you can remain safely and being blessed, continuing your journey. You can believe your sins forgiven in the Lord Jesus' name and atonement blood. On to peace, freedom, and joy. Faith is a joyful matter. The Apostle Paul leaves the congregation of Philippians safely in the peace of God with these words, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We will quieten in evening prayer. Holy God, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of faith. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the atonement work of your Son. Thank you for this evening moment around your word. Grant it to bear fruit in all of our hearts. Call yet to your kingdom those who long for peace on their conscience. Remember all of our loved ones and friends, near and far. Bring us one day to the heavenly home where shines the eternal light. We pray, yet as the songwriter writes in Virsi 600, O Savior, kindle flames of consolation, the rays of kindness, soothing all our fears, abide among us in the congregation, our hope and comfort through a night of tears. We safely say, the Lord bless us and keep us, the Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.